All right, well, we're going to be talking about the Book of Life now. And if you would please turn for a couple two verses that are not on the verse list. So let me just bring them up here and post them myself. And I thank Andy for doing the verse posting today. Last two verses of Revelation 20 tell us, "And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Well, if you read that out of context without, you know, connecting it to what it's connected to, to that which it's connected, you would think that if you're not, you today are not in the book of life, you would be cast into the lake of fire. So how do you get into the book of life? Well, that's not what it's saying. And that's what we're going to show here, what it is saying and what to learn from the passage and how it affects each of us. So we in the body of Christ just do not fit into that scenario, that part of the Word of God. And there's a reason for that. The prophecies of this book can't start until the fullness of the Gentiles, the last one of us, in other words, become into the body of Christ. The last one that's going to believe and come into the body of Christ. And that's when we, the body of Christ, will be caught up to forever be with the Lord. And that's where we fit in. But after we've gone to heaven to be with the Lord, that catching up is the trigger that allows Israel's prophecy to resume fulfillment again. If you look in Romans 11:25, there, thank you. "For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery." So don't ignore this secret I'm going to tell you, is what he's saying. "Lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness, in part, is happened to Israel." How long? "Until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in." Okay, well, as soon as all of the believing, those that believe Paul's gospel, the fullness of the Gentiles, I call it Paul's because it was given to Paul by Jesus Christ in heaven in Acts 9. Not before. It wasn't around before. But all that are going to believe Paul's gospel and be saved into the body of Christ will have been by the time the fullness of the Gentiles come in, they will be caught up to be with the Lord. And that is the end of that blindness for Israel. They're blinded until that happens. So that's the trigger that allows Israel's prophecy to resume being fulfilled. And then they will pick up right where they left off. They were in the middle of a prophecy that lasted for 70 weeks of years, a week being 70 times 7 years, that's a 490 year prophecy. And they had stepped through 69 of those weeks, 483 years. And the 70th week, the beginning of the 70th week is where it will pick up again. And that'll be after, well, it begins to tick after Israel had been cut off. They were no longer God's people, as it says in Hosea 1:9, and as happened there in Acts 7, verses 51 to 59, they were not God's people anymore. And that ended the allowed acceptable year of the Lord when they blasphemed the Holy Ghost at the end of Acts 7. They had 1 year in which they could have turned around and received their Messiah and the kingdom, and that's what Peter preached. He preached not only that the kingdom was at hand, like Jesus did when he walked the earth, but Peter, in the temple there, in that Jewish feast of Pentecost, Peter preached that if you believe, he will come back. He is actually offering the kingdom at that time. So, but when they rejected their Messiah in Acts 7 and blasphemed the Holy Ghost, thereby falling, that's how Israel fell. And the prophecy ceased at that time. It stopped right there. It paused, I should say. God's not done with Israel. It's awaiting its resumption for that 170th week, that 1 week of years, 7 years. God revealed a new gospel by which to save Paul until God is done bringing believers into, you know, believers that believe like Paul did, Paul's gospel of Christ, until he's done bringing believers into the body of Christ by that gospel, Israel has no prophecy fulfillment, and that includes today. There is nothing happening in prophecy, no changes being made. Israel is blinded and they're cast away. They were blinded fully. You heard the verse we read there in Romans 11:25. They were blinded in part. Romans was written in Acts 20. By the time of Acts 20, when Paul wrote that, Israel was blinded in part. By the end, when you read the casting away in Acts 28, verses 25 to 29, they're blinded, not blinded in part anymore. So they're out of the picture temporarily now. They're on pause. So that's why it's important to study Israel so we know where we fit in. When God is working with Israel, he's not working with us. When he works with Israel, he's fulfilling prophecy. He's doing that which was told and prophesied since the world began. But now he's not doing that. He's working with a mystery, with a secret that had not been told, had been kept secret since the world began, according to, Romans 16:25 at least, and other places. It was unsearchable in the Old Testament, according to Ephesians 3:8. So we'll read in Revelation 20, starting with verse 1, and this will lead into today's lesson. And I saw a new heaven. This is Revelation 21, verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Quite different, obviously. And Peter speaks of that to Israel in his second epistle to Israel. It doesn't involve us. We won't be in that location. We will have already been caught up, as we said earlier, caught up to heaven to forever be with the Lord. So let's go on to verse 2 in Revelation 21. And I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven as prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. So notice that John says the new Jerusalem. He's not talking about the new New York or new London, new Rome, or the new Islamabad, new Babylon. John's talking about a city over in Israel, on earth. And this has to do with Israel's future events. John tells who is the bride. It's the new Jerusalem. And I heard a great voice from heaven saying, behold, this is verse 3. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. You know, that's what the word Emmanuel means, God with us. And that was promised, and it will happen. And it says, he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. So there is the full circle of Hosea's pair of prophecies there. If you look first in Hosea 1:9, and then we'll look in Hosea 1:10 for the fulfillment of it centuries later, or the completion, I guess. Just a minute. Let me have just a second here. Hold on. Hosea 1:9. Then said God, call his name Lo Ammi, for you are not my people. Stern words. And I will not be your God. So that's verse 9. That's the cutting off of the people, or breaking off, as it's called in Romans 11:20. Hosea 1:10. Yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured nor numbered. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, You are not my people, there it shall be said unto them, You are the sons of the living God. So they'll first be not God's people, and then they will be the sons of the living God. So there's going to be a bringing back of Israel, in other words, after the catching up of the body of Christ. So in Hosea 1:9, Israel becomes Lo Ammi and not God's people, which we can see has happened, you can see it in the Bible book of Acts. The Acts of the Apostles, it's called. After a long delay, the fulfillment of Hosea 1:10 will occur. But in between Hosea 1:9 and Hosea 1:10 is a long delay, during which prophecy is silent. There is no prophecy going on. It's all this mystery that had been kept secret, but now is revealed to Paul, to reveal to us, and he does so in Romans through Philemon. But there is this gap between the two verses about which nothing is said. In all that was said or prophesied since the world began, it's all mute about this time that we're in. You can't find that until after Acts 9, when Jesus Christ begins revealing it to Paul. And Paul's writings in the Bible tell all about it. But a lot of people start in Matthew or Genesis, and they give up before they even get to Acts 9 or to Paul's epistles that have our information in it. And you can search far and wide in all the Bible and find nothing about how God will save a person during that gap between Hosea 1:9 and Hosea 1:10, except in Paul's 13 epistles of Romans through Philemon. We're not glorifying Paul. It's just that God chose Paul to tell you and me our salvation and our doctrine, just like he chose Moses to tell Israel theirs. But and Peter, he chose Peter later on for Israel. But that which Paul writes had been kept secret by God. It was a secret. It wasn't revealed anywhere before. It was a secret until he revealed it to Paul initially by saving Paul as a pattern to us who will come after Paul. But Paul was not being saved into Israel's kingdom or into anything else. It had to be a new way of being saved. It was still by the blood. It was by Jesus Christ on the same foundation of Christ. But it was a different building. It was a different gospel. The whole thing about it was different. It's a different entity of God. It's not Israel, it's the body of Christ. Paul was not saved as a law keeper, and Israel had been told to keep the law. And those that didn't, remember the man that collected sticks on the Sabbath? They stoned him. He was outside the camp. He was dead. Paul was not being saved into Israel's kingdom. Paul was the first one saved as a sinner, saved into the body of Christ by the saving message of the gospel of Christ crucified for our sins. And just because the name Christ is found in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and Christ preached the gospel, does not mean that it's what God chose to title the gospel of Christ, which does not appear in Scripture before Acts 9, Well, technically, I think the first time it's actually mentioned is in... I can't recall whether it's mentioned in Acts or not, but it's in Romans, and Romans 1:16. It comes boldly across that we're not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to save people. Power of God unto salvation, it says, to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek at that time. And that saving message was extended to all people later and called the gospel of the grace of God. So that all has to end, though. That all this mystery gospel of grace that we're in now, the dispensation of the grace of God, has to end before Hosea 1:10 can begin to be fulfilled. The body of Christ preached by Paul started just after Israel's fall from when they were God's people. And that happened in Acts 7, and it'll end, the body of Christ will end when the fullness of the Gentiles come in. And the body of Christ will be caught up to forever be with the Lord, which resumes Israel's prophecy fulfillment. Their prophecy begins again to be fulfilled when we're caught up to be with the Lord, and it begins with Hosea 1:10. So we'll continue to read now in Revelation 21, starting with verse 4. Excuse me just a minute. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. So there will be tears to be wiped away. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Well, more study there. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And now this is after the new earth, the old earth and the former earth and former heaven had passed away, and the new earth and the new heaven had come down. And he says, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. Verse 6. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And, you know, that's like saying, you know, knowing the history of what happened and Satan's usurping God's dominion and given to Adam, you know, he's the God of this world right now, and God is in the process of winning back his authority. And the prophecy here in Revelation 21:6 says, He said unto me, It is done. At the time he's writing about, it is done. I am now. I am the Alpha and Omega. Well, he always has been. But it's cleared up. It's cleared up by this time. The beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. Now that sounds good, you know. But remember, we're already in heaven. We're already glorification up there. He's talking about Israel people and people that had possibly been born during that 1,000 years that had not rejected the Lord and had received him or whatever according to this gospel of the kingdom that the Lord had taught. And he said, will be taught in all the world, and then the end comes. Well, at that time, the gospel of the kingdom will be taught again, and they'll have to believe it. They'll bow down to Israel. Israel will be the head and not the tail. The nations will be the tail. But he goes on, verse 7, He that overcometh, well, you have to overcome, not you, they do. We're already, you know, well, we'll get to that in a minute, but he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. So you can see there the reversal of Hosea 1:9. That's Hosea 1:10 in other words, and in Revelation 21:7. We need to mention two things here that help to define of whom these verses are speaking. First, Revelation 21:7 that we just read speaks of he that overcometh. That can't be us. And we started to say before, Paul mentions in Romans 8:37 that we already were more than conquerors through him that loved us. We're not like Israel in the tribulation covered by the book of Revelation. We are conquerors today. We have our inheritance. We have it told to us, and we have it guaranteed, sealed to us, the earnest of our inheritance, the seal of the Holy Spirit himself. But according to 1 Peter 1:7, and also in the same book, chapter 4, verse 12, Israel has to undergo a fiery trial of their faith. Israel does. Now we, you know, there's a different situation for us. Paul tells us that everyone that will live godly will undergo persecution, or what is that, let me find the verse. It's 2 Timothy 3:12, I believe. Let me put it up and see if that's it. Yeah, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. I'm glad it used the word persecution rather than tribulation, because we're not appointed to wrath. And the tribulation that Israel's trouble, Jacob's trouble, is often called. So, but Israel must undergo that fiery trial of their faith in order to become he that overcometh. Well, secondly, Revelation 21:7, he that overcometh shall inherit all things. And that can't be about us either, about the body of Christ, because we're told in Ephesians 1:13 and 14, in whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. What's the word of truth? It's the gospel of your salvation. In whom also, after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, under the praise of his glory. So God already promised us our inheritance. It's ours. We are joint heirs with Christ. The Spirit, we'll look at Romans 8, verse 16. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And don't get confused there. It's not a chat back and forth between him and us. That's not what it's referring to here. It doesn't say the Spirit itself beareth witness to our spirit. It's this, that our spirit bears witness that we're children of God, and the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Excuse me just a minute. All right. If children, okay, there's no conditions in there, is there? Beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, without condition. All right. Verse 17. If we're children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be glorified together. Well, that sounds like a condition, doesn't it? Let me just remind you of something, though. Let me put the verse up there. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified with him. We do suffer with Christ. We did. And in 33 AD, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And God talks about that glorification as having already, it's already taken place. It's as sure as if it's already taken place. You are glorified. Where is that? Romans, let's see, that's 8:29, I believe. Is that right? No, 29, not 30, yeah. Moreover, there's a good verse, yeah. Buried with him into baptism, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, that's past tense, them he also called. He called them. And whom he called, he glorified. Justified, whom he justified, them he also glorified. So it's a done deal for us. All right, let's get back to Revelation 21, starting in verse 8. Those are good verses. That whole series of verses there, Romans 6, verses 4, 5, and 6, show that we, just like we have died with Christ, crucified with Christ, which is his suffering, that he suffered and died and was raised again the third day, we're going to be raised with him. We are raised with him in spirit to new life. Okay, back to Revelation 21:8. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Here again, remember where you are if you're a believer in the gospel that Paul preached. You would be in heaven. This is not talking about you, even though you may have lied. having told a lie doesn't necessarily make you a liar, especially if God has declared you as righteous, with the righteousness of God. This is talking about those that are still in this situation, this prophesied situation on earth. All liars have their part. Again, just because a person lies doesn't make him a liar, but this is talking about liars. It's talking about people promoting the Antichrist. They'll have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And we read about the first death before, or the avoiding the second death. Anyway, do you think you're in that group? That's Israel. That's Israel, and that's the unbelievers from the nations around Israel during the tribulation and during the kingdom. Israel has never said, especially during that uprising after the kingdom, the thousand-year part of the kingdom. It goes right into the eternal part of the kingdom. I mean, it's not just a thousand-year kingdom. The kingdom follows, which is eternal. But Israel is never said to be caught up to forever be with the Lord. But the body of Christ is. We are the body of Christ, not Israel. Let's go to Revelation 21:9. And there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, and I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. So now we find out whose wife the bride is going to be, and who it is that is the groom or the husband. The Lamb. Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God, and this passage about Israel talks about the Lamb's wife being the bride. So the bride of Christ, or of the Lamb, is Israel in the New Jerusalem, not the body of Christ, which is never called the bride of Christ. It's the body of Christ, but not the bride. Going to verse 10 in Revelation 21, And he carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me a great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Verse 12, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and the gates, let's see, and at the gates 12 angels, and the names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. So, notice that New Jerusalem descending out of heaven is related to the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. Okay? And we've already seen the difference between them and us. Verse 13, on the east, three gates, on the north, three gates, on the south, three gates, and on the west, three gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations. And in them, the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. So notice here, the New Jerusalem descending out of heaven is related to both the 12 apostles of the Lamb and related to the 12 tribes of Israel. So you can see why they needed to replace Judas when he died. The kingdom was still being offered at that time, and the kingdom would have the names of Israel's 12 apostles of the Lamb. But when James was killed later on, after Israel fell in Acts 12, he was not replaced. Israel had already fallen. The kingdom was no longer being offered to Israel, or at all at that time. So Matthias legitimately replaced Judas, but James was not replaced when James died was killed in Acts 12. Nor were any of the rest of Israel's 12 apostles replaced when, you know, as they died one by one later on. Excuse me just a minute. Revelation 21, verse 15. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof. And the city lieth foursquare. The city lieth foursquare. Okay, they already said it had an east, a north, a south, and a west. And the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof, 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of the angel. So, as we've seen before, angels of the Lord appear as a man when they appear, not as a woman, not as a bird or something, a winged person or thing. They appear as a man. And verse 18, and the wall, and the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. So it's so pure that it's clear. None of this is ever described for the body of Christ. Every word of this is further confirmation that it is for Israel. And the foundation, verse 19, and the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third a chalcedony, the fourth an emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth a topaz, the tenth chrysoprasus, the 11th jacinth, and the 12th amethyst. Revelation 21:21, and the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl. And the city, the street of the city was pure gold, as it was, as it were transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of the Lord did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Matthew 24, verse 14 says that this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. So in the next verse, we'll see that the nations that believed that gospel of the kingdom at that time, they'll show up in this verse, Revelation 21:24. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and their honor into it. Their glory and their honor would be the riches of the nations, their wealth. The Gentile nations' wealth is brought to Israel. At that time, Israel will be the head, not the tail. Verse 25, and the gates of the city shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night. There will be light. There will be no night there. And that's in stark contrast to the world after the light of the world, the body of Christ, has been caught up to be with the Lord. It'll be spiritual darkness there on earth. But there'll be no night here in this heavenly city come down to earth. And they shall bring the glory of the nations into it. And now that's verse 26. Listen to this last verse before we close here. Pardon me. Last verse of chapter 21. This will be the 27th verse. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. So everyone that ends up in that earthly New Jerusalem that will come down out of heaven was in the Lamb's book of life. Do you think that the body of Christ is ever told that we will end up on earth? Is the body of Christ anything in Paul's writings in Romans through Philemon about the body of Christ that were to be in a coming kingdom from heaven on earth? That's not us. We're not addressed in the first place, and it's not talking about us. We're told that we have a house that is eternal in the heavens. Our conversation is in heaven. 2 Corinthians 5:1 and Philippians 3:20. So it's not talking about us. It's talking about Israel and those nations that bless Israel after the end of the dispensation of the grace of God, which we're in today. When it'll end, when the fullness of the Gentiles have come in. Do you see that from those, as I can see from those verses, that the final destination of everyone in the book of life is the earthly kingdom, not heaven? They will be in the earthly kingdom coming out of heaven to earth. And at that time, we in the body of Christ will have already been caught up to be with the Lord before Israel's prophecy resumes, before the beginning of the book of Revelation. And we will already be in our final destination, heaven. All right, well, I'm done for today. We'll have a conclusion for this from this tomorrow. But time for questions about it or related questions, comments,